Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the ways that we try to explain the nature and the acquisition of virtue to people when they're first studying virtue ethics is by comparing the virtues or likening the virtues to the kind of knowledge that we develop through skills or crafts or arts, what Aristotle and the Greeks called techne, which is a word, by the way, that we get technology from ultimately, but in this case means some sort of discipline or skill that a person has developed. So what would be examples of those? Well, rhetoric itself is an example, because Aristotle will title his book of rhetoric, the techne of rhetoric. But there's a lot of other things as well. Medicine was understood to be a techne, as well as sometimes called an episteme, scientific knowledge, disciplinary knowledge. All the different handiworks, weaving, pottery, metalworking, all of those are technine. Really, anything that is a productive activity. So being a musician, for example, is a technique. And why does Aristotle want to compare and contrast virtues with crafts? Well, because in a certain way, a virtue is a type of knowledge. And it's analogous to a craft in that it allows us to carry out performances consistently. So when we're thrown into situations that are not the same as other situations that we've seen, so we're a little bit unprepared for them, the particulars are different, Aristotle would say, we can carry out what in education we call transfer of knowledge, right? So if I understand what it means to be generous in this context, I can then, if I really have the virtue, probably transfer that over here to this context. I might get mixed up about some of the particulars, but I can get straightened out about them, and then I can see how to make that work. And it's similar with the crafts that we have. If you really are a good carpenter, it's not just doing the same thing over and over and over again. You can adapt to new situations and see, looking through them, how do we do this? A great example of this. My uncle, master craftsman now in two different fields. He was a drywaller since high school. And at first, drywall is very rough stuff, hanging it. There's not an awful lot of art involved, although there's some, because, just go into a house where somebody's done bad drywall and you can see the effects of it, right? It's one of those sort of things where the less you can notice it, the better it is. And that's not just due to the hanger, it's also due to the mutter and other things. However, as his career progressed, because he was an intelligent guy and interested in what he was doing and picking up things along the way from older people through a sort of apprenticeship type of activity, he learned how to do amazing stuff with drywall, where he could, wet it and then bend it the right way, and he could walk into a place and say, we're going to need this many sheets for this, and I'm going to have to cut it this way for that weird little bend up there. That is a prime example of craft knowledge, just as much as a musician who has to figure out how to adapt a Prokofiev piece to a different ensemble of instruments. And it's something very admirable. Now, the virtues are like that. In many respects, they provide us with the ability to produce consistent performance, not so much in terms of production, but now in terms of our actions and our emotions. So there are analogies between the virtues and the technai, that's the plural for techne, the crafts. One of these is that you're only a real craft person if you actually possess the knowledge of the craft. If you're just doing things by going on the internet and watching a few videos and then seeing how to do it, you're not, that could be part of your training, but you're not yet a craftsperson. If in music, you're still using the tablature, you haven't really learned the song yet at that point, have you? And so on. You can only really say that somebody has the knowledge that goes with a craft, if they really do in fact exhibit that. If they're going by somebody else's guidance, they're not yet at that point. And we can say the same thing about virtue, can't we? If you always have to be told what the right thing to do is, you are not yet virtuous. You may, in fact, be doing virtuous actions. If you have a question about the distinction between doing virtuous actions and being virtuous, go and take a look at the video about virtue as a norm for moral evaluation. There is a very important difference there. A kid can be a good kid because they're still within the framework of punishment and reward, and they do the right thing, but they're not yet virtuous. They're only able to do that when they're truly on their own and can then actuate that knowledge. Another very important likening between crafts people and those who are virtuous is this entire notion of the mean. Aristotle thinks that it's not just in moral issues, but also in the crafts, that we're trying to find the mean or the middle position because that is what is best. He gives the example of works of art where you can tell that they're complete. This is a very hard thing to do, by the way, in music, sculpture, writing, to figure out when you've got the right proportions and you shouldn't add anything more. That's why when it comes to good writing, much of good editing is actually trimming things away, you know? Sort of like a sculptor carving the marble away from what it is that they're doing. And so there's a connection there. Now, all that said, the virtues are not crafts. And there are some very important dissimilarities that Aristotle wants to point out to us. One of these has to do with what we could call the performance and the agent of performance. The works of art, as Aristotle says, have their good condition or their goodness, their eu-eche, their being in a stable good condition, in themselves. So this is why you don't need the craftsperson around after you have had it done. As a matter of fact, you don't want them around most of the time, right? You don't want to go to the doctor after you've been healed. You don't want to go to the dentist after you've had your root canal, except maybe for a checkup. You don't want to, and we can go on and on and on with this, right? That's not the case for the virtues, though. For the virtues, their goodness, the being in good condition, has to do with something external, the actions or the emotional responses that are exhibited, but it lies primarily in the person who is where the virtue exists. The person is the thing that's the same coming to situation after situation after situation. And so you can say maybe you're trying to make yourself into a work of art. There are people who like to talk that way these days, but that is not the way Aristotle sees it. Another very important thing that distinguishes these two main classes of what we can call habits, moral virtues and craft knowledge, is that both involve knowledge, right? So the craftsperson does know something. It's not the same thing as knowing a textbook or knowing mathematics, but it is knowing something. The virtuous person also knows something. They have certain principles that they're using to arrive at good conclusions through practical reasoning. But in order to be virtuous, two other things are needed. Deliberate choice, proeresis, meaning, you know, a commitment of the person to that, what it is that they're doing, for the sake that they value it. Moral choice, we could call it. Also, habitual disposition. This is really central as well. And Aristotle here says that in order to be a craftsperson, you don't actually have to have all of that with respect to the product that you're generating. It's more important that you have the knowledge. Whereas for virtue, the knowledge itself is in some respects less important. The deliberate choice and the habitual disposition actually matter more than merely having the knowledge. And he says something very funny that other philosophers have said at different points, like Plato or Epictetus. He talks about people who don't actually have, well, they have the knowledge, which they've gotten sort of from a textbook, but they don't actually use it. And they talk about it rather than making it effective. Here we go, the mass of mankind, instead of doing virtuous actions, what you have to do in order to practice virtue, have recourse to discussing virtue and fancy they are pursuing philosophy and that this will make them good people. Knowing ethics doesn't make you a good person. Practicing ethics will make you a good person, but that's a lot harder. That demands a lot of work, time, you have to make choices, usually choices that are tough choices, and you have to work to the point that it becomes a habitual disposition. Now, you could say by response that perhaps some of those things apply to some of the crafts, that there are a lot of deliberate choices that certain crafts people have to make, and that it is a habitual disposition eventually for them. But we can still say, well, it's within a different realm, productive knowledge versus what we can call practical knowledge, knowledge of how we ought to practice, how we ought to exhibit things in our actions, in our emotions, in how we order goods and respond to other people. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.